Welcome back into the David L. Gray Show on St. Dominic's Media. David L. Gray Show off code and unscripted on St. Dominic's Media. It's about 10 o'clock here in Germany, and we are live streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and X.com. But however you're listening, wherever you're listening from, just glad to have you in for this awesome show. This is an off schedule show. This is a Monday. You know, I usually live stream on Tuesdays, but tomorrow I'll be speaking with Christine Harrington. She'll be on giving a Michael Voris update. Also, she'll be talking about all these Catholics who are putting their politics first, these Republicans in their pro-death agenda, making exceptions for life in the womb. So she'll be on talking about Frank Pavone and all these other Catholics who are now pro-death. So by the time we start that show, I'll just be getting home. So I didn't have enough time tomorrow to do a monologue before Christine Harrington from Eternal Life Podcast comes on, Eternal Life Plan Podcast come on. So I'm just going to do my monologues today. So I got a couple topics for you today. First, we're going to be talking about Jason Whitlock and his anti-Catholic bigotry. Jason Whitlock is an anti-Catholic bigot, and I'm done with it. I'm over it. We have to stop giving these people, these anti-Catholics grace. So we're going to talk about that, talking about all the anti-Catholic stuff he was saying, all his bigotry against Harrison Butker, the kicker from Kansas City, who is has become quite the phenomenon again in the traditional Catholic circles. And then we're going to talk about this young man, Nick Cavazos. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. All right, he's sort of a cliche of what I think about Rad Trad Inc. So yeah, this is my bi-weekly rant against Rad Trad Inc. And we're going to talk about Nick Cavazos and how he's just afraid to come on my podcast and defend all the bigotry he's been spewing about Novus Ordo Catholics and about the, I guess, the magisterium. So this is the bigotry show. We're talking about bigots today on the David L. Gray Show, off code and unscripted. Again, glad to have you in. Looking forward to your comments below. This is definitely off code, unscripted. I think I have like two things written down here, like two notes. So we're just freewheeling it. Hopefully, I have a lot of things in my head I want to get out. Hopefully they come out. So we'll see. But let's get into the show. Again, this is the David L. Gray Show, off code and unscripted. Let's go. So let's get into Jason Whitlock first. All right. So he was talking all last week about Harrison Butker, the kicker from Kansas City, who, man, became a sensation over after some speech he gave at Benedictine College, a commencement speech in which he laid out everything that he believes that's wrong with the country, with the church, with the administration. And he also offers solutions, you know, with the traditional at mass, keep your wife home, have her make some babies. You know, he just put it out there. You know, you agree with them, disagree with them. You know, I liked probably 90%, 85% of what he said. And so I thought it was really cool. And, you know, there's a lot of critiques I can offer because you guys know me. I don't put people on pedestals. You know, if you haven't been canonized by the church, I'm not going to celebrate you. I don't celebrate men. I don't do that. Right? I wait till you're canonized. And or almost canonized, you know, like Venerable Fulton J. Sheen. You know, these are the type of people I'm into, you know. But I get why Harrison Butker became quite the sensation, right? I think it's kind of like what Sister Anne said on our series over at St. Dominic's Media. We did a whole course with like 27 different very notable speakers, Catholic speakers, authors, theologians, religious priests. And in Sister Anne, what she said in her lesson over there was that she understood that the choir, like we're always talking about, hey, you're preaching to the choir. And that's what Harrison Butker was doing, right? In a sense. He was just speaking to the choir, right? But from Sister Anne, from her perspective, she says that sometimes the choir needs to be spoken to because the choir needs to be affirmed. Yeah, the choir, they hear the same stuff all the time. They sing the same songs. They're reading off the same sheet of music. We can say, yeah, we're speaking to the choir if we're just saying the same things everybody knows. But sometimes the choir needs to be affirmed. They need to be validated. And I think that's what Harrison did. Sometimes, especially in the world that we live in, it's so strange, right, that the truth is not normal anymore. Like, what's abnormal, what's unnatural, that's normal, right? And so when you hear someone on a big platform or a mid-sized platform, when they're just voicing what you feel, what you believe, what you know is true, yet you don't have a platform, you can't say it, and sometimes you may be scared to say it or may not know how to articulate it, and then someone like Harrison comes along, he says exactly what you're feeling, what you're thinking, and you're like, yeah, he gets it, right? And so this is why Harrison, on my social media feed, especially on Facebook, I cannot go 2 posts, 3 posts without one of my traditional Catholic friends posting stuff about him. It's been going on for a week. I'm tired of it, honestly. I am. I can't get away from it, right? I didn't even go on Facebook today just because of that, right? It's just constant, right? Maybe I need some new friends. I don't know. But I get it. I do. Why people need to hear that affirmation and that validation, even though it's the choir. And sometimes the choir, a choir wants to be heard themselves. A choir wants their songs. They want people to hear them. They don't sing them just for themselves. They sing them for others. So they want other people to hear what they're singing. They want an audience. They want their voice to get out. And Harrison did that for the choir. So I get it. And I think Jason Whitlock kind of got it as well, right? But everything he said about Harrison was crouched in this just anti-Catholic bigotry. So let's get into, so I got like 4 clips to show you, and I'm just going to comment on them. And so here is the first one.
I grew up Baptist, 25th Street Baptist Church. And I can't do it. I can't reject the truth that man just spewed. I can't not celebrate the courage that man just showed because he's a Catholic. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not. That man can believe whatever he wants to believe, and I'm going to let God sort it out and judge Harrison. I'm going to judge the truth that he just spoke and applaud it.
So what you just heard there was soft bigotry against Harrison Butker, right? So first, Jason starts off talking about how he's Baptist, and what you know, Baptists are just by nature anti-Catholic. They think Catholics are going to hell, right? So that's how he starts off. I'm a Catholic. You know, he says, I'm Baptist, which means, you know, it's code for I'm anti-Catholic. But by nature, I'm against this guy. But then he says, you know, but I can't deny what he said was true. So this is what soft bigots always do, whether it's prejudice against someone's ethnicity, someone's culture, or their religion. This is what soft bigotry always does. It separates the act from the actor. It separates the act from the actor. That's what soft bigotry does. Anytime you see a bigot, and they'll say something like, you know, let's just take a racist bigot, right? You know, talking about someone, let's talk about, I don't know, a Chinese person, right? You know, I really don't, I really don't like those chinks. But I tell you that, Bruce Lee. They really know some karate or something. They'll just say just the most ignorant thing, right? They separate the act from the actor. This is soft bigotry. And that's what Jason does here. he says, you know, I'm a Baptist, but I just can't do it. What this man said was true. And then, but he adds the caveat. He brings the bigotry back in. He says that I'll let God judge him. I'll let God judge Harrison because of his Catholicism, which means he thinks he's going to hell, right? This is the soft bigotry of Jason Whitlock against Catholics. But this is not the first time I've talked about Jason and his ignorance about Catholicism. Right. I'm going to go a little more in depth now because I got more substance to the issues he has with Catholicism, Jason Whitlock. But this is why, as Catholics, we need to stop giving grace to these bigots and people like Jason Whitlock. We have to stop following them, stop subbing them. Stop giving them any sort of commerce or anything, any sort of validation or attention whatsoever, because these are bigots. These are anti-Catholics. And the thing is, I know as Catholics, we give a lot of people grace because we recognize we live in a very anti-Catholic world. They hate us because they hate Christ first, and they hate the church, the only church that Christ Jesus established, which is the Catholic Church. And especially in places like the United States, where we recognize that this is a Protestant country founded by Protestants and just has a Protestant vibe about it. We recognize that most people in this country are just dumb when it comes to Catholicism. We recognize they're ignorant. And so when they say ignorant things about Catholicism, we just give them a pass. We give them grace. It's like, ha, but nobody else does that. Jason Whitlock can't say this about the Jews. He can't say, oh, well, those Jews, I don't believe anything. I think they're going to hell. He can't say that about the Jews. They'll have a whole campaign to get him shut down the next day. You can't even say it about Muslims. You can't say, oh, those Muslims are going to hell or anything. He won't say it about them, right? He won't. No, but against Catholics, you're allowed to get away with this anti-Catholic bigotry because we give these people grace. We let them off the hook, right? And we need to stop doing that. But this whole thing about Jason Whitlock, man, like I said, this isn't the first time I got into Jason Whitlock and his anti-Catholic bigotry. Let me play you this monologue I did about Jason Whitlock, I think last year. Check this out.
Jim Harbaugh takes is filtered through the lens of football, not Catholicism. If being pro-life would jeopardize Michigan losing a five-star recruit, I suspect Harbaugh would convert his locker room to a Planned Parenthood facility. Jim Harbaugh is a practicing Catholic. So are Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi. Biden and Pelosi are pro-abortion. So what's the difference between how Catholicism informs Harbaugh's view on abortion as opposed to the president and the speaker of the house? The difference can be explained by occupation. As a Christian, I get where the Mormon church, Joseph Smith, some of that's silly. Catholicism, I get where they screw off course.
Now he says here, he sees where Catholics have screwed off course. Now he doesn't explain that here, right? But the video I'm about to show you shortly, he's gonna get into some of that where he thinks Catholics are wrong. And this is a continuation of a monologue. Here's this guy, I think his name is Virgil. He's an idiot. He's a Protestant. He's very anti-Catholic. I'm going to show you this monologue now, and then we're going to talk more about him and his anti-Catholicism, his bigotry later. But this is the type of people who Jason Whitlock platforms, these bigots.
Where the Mormon church, Joseph Smith, some of that's silly. Catholicism, I get where they screw off course.
What you're describing in the Catholic Church, that you know, for all of its flaws, for all of the issues, and I'd be, you know, we could do another segment on what we think, what we find wrong with the Catholic Church.
Gotcha. Now, it really comes down to, and I think Anthony was getting at this, what is it to obey the teachings of Jesus? Is it to say the rosary, to go to the confession booth? Well, that's not the teachings of Jesus, I'm sorry.
Royce, jump back in.
Yeah.
This has been phenomenal.
Well, I mean, I bring a little bit of that Catholic perspective. perspective to it. And, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas is one of the most touted theologians, you could say, in the Catholic faith. And he said that it's not law and order that we want. And I caution this often to my fellow conservative Americans. It's not law and order that we want, it's peace and order. And peace is when man surrenders his passion to his reason and his reason to God. Mm-hmm. That's what you're saying with the vision board, is give over to God and let God do. And then when man surrenders his passions to his reason to God, then he can have peace. And then men who do that together can have order. Yeah. And so I think, you know, much of our pursuit of material possessions, this radical materialism, causes a loss of sacred honor and leaves us in chaos. And where we think the material possessions create the order and the stability and the routine and the consistency that we're looking for, it never works. And that's why you see a lot of people who are ultra rich, I mean, just rich beyond belief. When you hear them talk, when you see their aura, when you see their mannerisms, you can see the angst in their body language.
Yeah.
Take a Elon Musk, take a Jeff Bezos, take a Oprah Winfrey, take a Barack Obama. I mean, any of these people who are ultra successful, who have measured their meaning in life based on their fleshly success, they show the visible angst. And I always have picked up on that well before I was a practicing a Catholic or Christian.
You're a Catholic, Royce?
Yeah, I'm Catholic.
You're a Catholic, Royce?
You're a Catholic, Royce.
Catholic.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I did not. I learn new things every day.
Yeah. Both sides. Both my black side and my Mexican side.
I didn't. Oh, okay.
Got
him!
Got him!
Got him!
So that was Dr. Royce White was on the Jason Whitlock Show. Jason, I'm doing all this anti-Catholicism, all this anti-Catholic bigotry, right? And he gets Royce on there. He doesn't even know Royce is a Catholic. If he knew, he probably wouldn't have platformed Royce, right? And so he's going, all this anti-Catholicism, all this anti-Catholic bigotry. And then Royce gets on there like, hey, you know, and he breaks down what it means to be a Catholic. But then you saw the type of people who Jason would like platforms. This Virgil guy, these people would be on his something he does, Nashville Harmony or something like that. He does these Protestants on there, and they're all anti-Catholic and stupid. They're running around with like 66 books of the Bible, don't know that the Bible came from the Catholic Church, think they have a right to interpret the Catholic Bible outside of the Catholic Church. Saying the most ignorant things, and it's always this stuff about Mary. I don't know their obsession. I don't know if they have mommy issues. I don't know, but it's always it always goes to the Blessed Mother Mary, right? As if everything they say about the Catholic Church is nothing that is in our catechism. It's always the opposite, right? And so here's another clip. Let's get some more into what Jason Whitlock and his anti-Catholic bigotry that he's spewing. But you see the monologue now. You see his background. So this isn't anything new. He's been on this anti-Catholic bigotry for a long time. And now enters Harrison Buckner. And it's a little bit confounding to him. He's like, man, this guy is Catholic. Catholics are going to hell. But this person is what he's saying is true. So he has to compartmentalize the truth from the person, as if you could do that with Harrison Butker, which you can't, because his faith informs every aspect of life, at least appears to be. And so, but Jason wants to employ this soft bigotry of separating the act from the actor. Here's another clip.
Not a Catholic. Don't agree with everything Catholics do. Certainly, you know, their worship of Mary. Not my thing, not my cup of tea, not what I believe in.
It is always the Blessed Mother Mary. Why? I mean, again, do these people have mommy issues? I mean, why do they hate the Blessed Mother Mary so much? Why do they lie about her so much? Why do they lie about the Catholic Church so much? What is this obsession with Jesus' mother? You know, Catholic Church doesn't even tell us. We're talking about a sacramental. the rosary. The Catholic Church doesn't compel us. There's no command to pray the rosary. Right? The rosary is scripture. I mean, you should read the scripture. The church doesn't compel us to do that, to hear the scriptures at the mass. But listen, you don't have to pray the rosary, but they always go into this thing, right? And he's up here lying. I'm like, where do you even hear that from?
Again, not a Catholic.
Again, he's separating what Harrison said from what Harrison believes. And he said, oh, I'm not a Catholic, right? But what this guy said is true, right? But he wants to rant. He wants to tell lies against Harrison's faith. Listen to him.
Don't agree with everything Catholics do. Certainly, you know, their worship of Mary.
Their worship of Mary. Where in the hell does the Catholic catechism, where in the hell have we ever taught for the last 2,000 years that we worship Mary? This guy is an idiot. And it's crazy to me that Jason Whitlock, who he proudly says that he recognizes that everyone in his life lied to him. His mother, his Protestant Baptist preachers, the people in his life, everybody lied to him about what it meant to be a black man in America. They lied to him about the Democrats. They lied to him about the Republicans. They lied to him about conservatism. But Jason doesn't have a big enough brain to even ask the next question. If they lied to me about that, if they lied to me about politics and culture, maybe did they also lie to me about the Catholic Church? He doesn't question what he received when it comes to the Catholic Church, right? No one ever wants to give Christ and his church, the only church he established, the benefit of the doubt. They always want to accept the lies from culture. And I was kind of like in the same place as Jason, right? You know, being raised, in the semi-culturally black sort of things, particularly when I went to historically black university, that culture and things that they feed you about, you have to depend on the Democrats. You have to be a victim to the victim. You have to accept the victim narrative that you just got out of slavery. Nothing good is ever going to happen to you. The white man is trying to keep you down. You need affirmative action. You need all this stuff, right? You're a victim. So I definitely accepted that narrative. But then once I discovered Christ in his church, all right, and it began to like just break down just the matrix, right? Remember that scene from the Matrix where everything just starts crumbling. Neo sees like everything, you know, he understands everything. And I just saw all the lies that had been told to me just crumbling down about the Democrats, about culture, that I don't have to be a race essentialist, that I don't have to put my ethnicity or my skin color before anything, right? And then I questioned, well, man, if they lied to me about all that other stuff, then why shouldn't I give the Catholic Church the benefit of the doubt? Why shouldn't I investigate it, right? But Jason Whitlock, like, he's not smart enough to make those connections. A guy who will make a connection between Kanye West and Martians dancing on the moon or something like that. He'll make a connection places that you can't connect dots, right? Sometimes they're not even dots, and Jason will find dots to connect. But for some reason, he can't connect these dots. And it's also crazy that here's a guy, he does so many shows about Martin Luther King Jr., about how he's a fraud, about how the whole civil rights movement was damaging, has set black people in America back 50, 100 years. He recognizes that Martin Luther King Jr. was running a scam, right? But he doesn't question Martin Luther, who Martin Luther King Jr. took his name from. He doesn't recognize that that's who he's following. He'll say, oh, I'm not going to follow Martin Luther King Jr. anymore. But he doesn't recognize that he's still following Martin Luther, who was a polygamist, who was a heretic, who was nothing but was running the scheme himself, who had done nothing but set Christianity up to be divided for the next 500 years. Martin Luther worked for Satan. And if you follow Martin Luther, you also follow Satan. So Jason Whitlock doesn't just question these basic things, right? And here's the last clip about him lying about the Catholic Church.
Not my Not my thing, not my cup of tea, not what I believe in.
Yeah, we don't care.
Yeah, I understand the point being made.
And so here's that other anti-Catholic bigot, Virgil, who Jason Whitlock always platforms, right? Listen to him. And up in the corner there, you see up there in the right-hand corner, this guy, his last name is Donahue or something like that. And he was on there. He's actually a Catholic. He's Jason Whitlock's token Catholic now, since Royce White's not on the show. So this guy up there in the right, he's a token Catholic. And he's up there, saying some things about the Catholic Church. He was, giving some context to Harrison Butker. All right. But notice Jason's token Catholic. Notice how silent he is when Virgil heretic, this stuttering idiot. Watch him as he starts saying all these lies about the Catholic Church. Watch Jason's token Catholic. Just put his head between his legs. Watch this.
So you hop in here.
Yeah, I understand the point being made. I would always, if in a situation where the idea is, well, Catholicism is informing his decision about how he treats life, I think you've got to address the issue of Catholicism and say that it's a different gospel from the Protestant faith.
It's a different gospel. What is this Donahue person doing up there? He's talking trash about the Catholic. It's a different gospel. No, it's the gospel. Jesus Christ, who is the gospel, the good news, established our church himself through his apostles. We have 2,000 years of paper trail of evidence proving that. We have the Holy Eucharist proving that. We have the miracles proving that. We have the saints proving that. And then this Virgil person is up here, this is a different, shut the hell up. It's a different gospel. No, the gospel that you're following is from Satan. Yeah, it's a different gospel, but our gospel is the truth. But this Donahue guy, look at me. He's just looking. Oh, no, that wouldn't be me on the show. That wouldn't be Father Hell, no. No, I'm jumping in. Like, what did you say? What did you say? Get out of here. Let me play some more.
There are two different things going on with regard to Protestantism and the Catholic faith, and that's fine. I think this issue falls under, however, just what we call general
So so this Virgil, this stuttering fool, he's trying to separate again this soft bigotry. He's trying to say there's Harrison, and then there's what he said, as if these two things are completely irrelated. And so Virgil wants to call this thing, I guess, I don't know if it's a Protestant thing, he wants to call it general revelation. Now, as Catholics, we know that we've been, for 2,000 years, we've been calling this the natural law. There's certain things just written on our hearts that we know to be true, right? He calls it general revelation. So he wants to say, well, what Harrison said is just general revelation. Anybody can believe that, really? Really? Protestants don't have general revelation. They don't. They don't have general revelation. If they did, they wouldn't be so divided. Protestants don't even agree on the same thing. Some of them believe in abortion. Some believe in gay marriage. Some of them believe in polygamy. Right? They're just all over the place. So they don't even believe in general revelation. They don't have just one truth that they believe. But he wants to say, well, Harrison, he can't say these things come from his Catholic faith. Well, why not? Why not?
Revelation, and the general revelation is all of us are image bearers of God, and as a result are deserving of distinct value, dignity, and worth. The child in the womb at the end of the day is a human being created in God's image.
All Protestants don't believe that, Virgil. So does that general revelation for Protestants? Not all Protestants believe that. And even in some of what you say is not even just explicit in Scripture.
And all of us, on the basis of that general revelation, have that clear understanding, know that.
No, Protestants actually don't have that clear revelation.
As a result of what God instills in us, all of us know that it's wrong to murder.
All Protestants don't know it's wrong to murder. They don't, especially the Methodists.
You don't have to be a Catholic, a Baptist, a Presbyterian to know that.
Oh, because Catholicism is just another denomination, right? No, it's not a denomination. It's the church established by Jesus Christ. Protestants are denominations divided into many things, many different sets of Satan's fruit.
All of us on God's general revelation realize that, recognize that, and should advocate for the least of these, the one who's least protected. And that currently today, unfortunately, is the baby in the womb. As it pertains to what the man said, I think he was spot on and everything that he said. But when you bring in your faith as that.
Oh, because your faith isn't supposed to inform you. No, it's just this general revelation that Protestants don't even believe.
And you say that that's what's informing you. That's fine. I would make some clear lines of distinction with as it relates to Christianity and Catholicism and push back and simply say, that's a part of general revelation. I don't have to hold to any particular faith commitment to.
Well, actually, if you're a Catholic, you're a faith. If you believe what the church teaches, then that's what you're going to believe. Harrison Buckner believes this because he's a Catholic. He wouldn't believe these things if he was a Protestant. There's nothing about being a Protestant that compels you under the pain of excommunication to believe certain things. Right. There's nothing in Protestant that says, oh, well, man, you go get an abortion. You got to go to confession, get absolved of your sin. There's nothing like that. There's no remedy. There's no compelling. There's no magisterium. There's no dogmatic truth. You just believe whatever you want to believe, because that's what Protestant is. You can interpret the Bible, the 66 books of their Bible. You can interpret it however you want to. I don't know what this stuttering idiot is even talking about.
Know that it is wrong to murder. That's something that's intrinsic in all of us. And
no, it's actually not Virgil. But this is Jason Whitlock's anti-Catholic bigotry that he continues to spew over and over and over again. These are the type of anti-Catholic bigots who he platforms. And again, we need to stop giving so much grace to these idiots. This is why I unsubscribed from Jason Whitlock. This is why I even told YouTube to click that little extra button and said, I do not want to see this guy's videos on my platform. Now, I'm not going to go as far as, what's his name, Stephen A. Smith, and call Jason a fat bastard. No, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to make fun of any, you know, guy's weight, right? I used to be fat. I used to be a fat bastard myself, right? So I'm not here to make fun of anybody's weight issues. But if I was, Jason Whitlock is clearly, I'll call him a witless fat bigot. He's a witless fat bigot if I were to make fun of somebody's weight, right? Which I'm not, right? But this over and over and over again. So Catholics, we just need to recognize and stop giving grace to these people who think they can go around and say anything they want to about our church, any lie. Think they can say anything they want to about the Blessed Mother Mary, lie. And think they can just think that they're equal to us when they don't even have a complete Bible. When their church was founded by a man, not by Jesus Christ himself. We're not equal. I mean, we keep having these debates with these people as if, right? And it's sort of like, you know, when we treat these people as if they're on equal standing as us, it's sort of it's a type of false ecumenism. It's a type of indifferentism that we're spreading, that you can believe anything you want to believe it as it's true. Let me ask you this, James White, as many Catholics as he's debated, from Madrid to Tim Staples to Trent Horn, has James White ever converted? Is he even closer today from being Catholic as he was in the 1980s? Tell me, I'll wait. No, we have to stop treating these people as if they're on equal standing with us. Many of them aren't even baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There's a church over in California now. I forget the name of the church. They want to baptize like 30,000 people in one day, but they're baptizing them in the name of Jesus alone. That's not even a legitimate baptism. That's not even scripture. But see, this is the harm that these devils are doing. And all Protestants do are divide the people of God. You got these bumbling idiots like Virgil here, saying there's a difference between Catholics and Christians. I'm just waiting to understand what's the difference between a Catholic and a Christian. They were first called Christians in Antioch. And in that same city, about 50 years, 60 years later, they were called Catholics in Antioch. Well, so same city, they're first called Christians, then they're called Catholics, right? But these people don't understand anything. Christianity started 500 years ago, right? This is really like just low IQ. In this arrogance and this pride, thinking they can interpret a Catholic Bible that's missing six books in their version, they can interpret it some other way than the Holy Spirit inspired those who Jesus used to establish the Catholic Church to write the New Testament. They can interpret it outside of that understanding that we've had for 2,000 years. That's pride, that's arrogance, and it's low IQ. And we need to stop giving these people grace and just call them what they are. They're anti-Catholic bigots. That's exactly what they are. Catholic Astero says, personally, I'm 100% anti-Protestant. Yeah, me too. Yeah, 100%. That religion has done nothing. Everything that's wrong in the world and society today, you can lay at the foot of Protestants. From free will divorce to gay marriage to the so-called sexual revolution, to contraception, to abortion. Look at all the so-called Protestant countries. I mean, everyone's doing kind of bad now, but at least your Catholic countries are still holding on at this point. You know, they're like the last ones to fall, but Protestant countries, they've been done for a long time, right? Every evil that's happened, that's transpired, we can lay at the foot of Protestants. It's a trash religion, a trash religion. It's not even a religion. It's an anti-religion. It's like like Krispy Kreme is not even a donut. It's like an anti-donut. Krispy Kreme is like an argument against the donut, right? It's some bread with some sugar on top, right? Everyone who's had a fine pastry knows that Krispy Kreme, that's not a real donut. But that's all Protestantism is. Peace of Lever says, we legitimize them when we act like their theology is worth even debating. Exactly. That's indifferentism. And we legitimize them when we do that, just like Peace of Lovers said, right? It's not worth debating. Not at all. We don't have anything to agree on. We really don't. All right. We could push back against Vatican II on this one as well, in their document calling them our sisters and brothers. Most of them aren't even baptized in the proper formula, right? These are not our sisters and brothers. These are like third cousins. They don't even show up at a family reunion, right? There's nothing. We have nothing in common. Nothing in common. You say, well, we have Jesus in common. Really? Do we do? Jesus established a church and seven sacraments. I don't think we agree on it. Maybe the name. Yeshua, Jesus, Jesus, whatever language you want to say it in. Maybe that. But beyond his name, we don't even agree on the Holy Trinity. I mean, there's really nowhere to go with these people. It's really not. And we have to stop pretending and acting like it is. These people, their father is Satan, and all they do is divide, divide, divide. That's it. Let's keep it real. Thomas says, David, see you gonna get on Jason, so bring Father hell no. Jason would never let a Catholic like me on this show. Never. Never. Never, never. He likes Catholics like the one you saw there. These limp-legged Catholics. They're like, I wish somebody would speak about the Blessed Mother Mary like that in my presence. Right? Well, you Catholics worship Mary. Shut the hell up. First of all. All right. And then I hit him in the head with a catechism. All right. I'll wake up for violence. And then we can say some words later. All right. Nick Nolfi from Youngstown, Ohio, one of the most wonderful cities in the world, says they mistake their pride and unwillingness to submit to the church for intelligence, right? This is like the whole so-called enlightenment thing, this sort of free thinking, right? Because, you know, I can think outside the Catholic Church, therefore I'm freed, intelligent. Dude, obedience is one of the highest goods. It's not rebellion. It's not autonomy. It's obedience. Thanks for that, Nick. It's so ridiculous. Colin says, yes, David, they're not even worth listening to. They are missing seven books, gob sheets. When in doubt, call a Catholic priest. Yeah, I mean, come on now. Where can we go? Like, your Bible's missing seven books. You don't even know the last place where the Ark of the Covenant was. There's so many things you don't know. I don't even, there's really no starting point with Protestants. There isn't. I mean, we should just be honest with it. Oh my goodness. All right, let's get into Protestants are many in John 666. Exactly. Let's get into the next thing next. This is my second monologue. This is just simply crazy. Just anti-Catholic bigotry everywhere you turn. And we just need to stop giving these people space to operate. All right. So every other week, you know, lately, I've been going on this, you know, rant or whatever against rad trading. Rad trading are people who, in the Catholic Church, who use things, they weaponize things, and they use things to divide the Catholic faithful against each other, right? Whether it's the liturgy wars, whether it's always finding something negative. And granted, there's a lot of things to find negative that's coming out of the Vatican. But to weaponize those things, to make a shipwreck of people's faith, to drive people away from the Catholic Church, to first turn them into SSPX, and then eventually into Sedevacantists. You know, that's rad trading, right? And all the while, they're making lots of money, selling lots of books, getting a lot of views and speaking gigs off of this grift. And so as much as I tell you guys the truth about rad trading, I'm not malicious about it, right? I invite these guys on my podcast. I try to have conversations with them. I do. I know, because I'm a man, right? I'm not just going to sit here and just talk about you. Let's have a conversation, and I can show you where you're wrong, right? So this is what happened. There's this young man named Nick Cavazos. I don't do Italian well. I love Italy. I love going there, right? Best food. So I had invited this Nick person on my podcast here, Off Code Unscripted, right? I had sent this Nick person, who goes by, his YouTube channel is the Traditional Thomas. I had sent him three emails inviting him on my podcast. Why? Because I often see him either is on his own channel, the Traditional Thomas, or I see him over at Avoiding Babylon talking mad trash about Novus Ordo Catholics. Just a bigot when it comes to Novus Ordo Catholics, right? Just a Novus Ordo Catholic bigot. Just trash. And I see him talking trash about the magisterium as well. The magisterium is always wrong, right? It's wrong about this. It's wrong. He's just a typical rad trad ink tool, right? So I'm like, okay. You know, I always see him on Avoiding Babylon. He has no problem going on podcasts, right? He's not like, you know, some of these people. So I say, hey, you know, I would like to invite you on my podcast to talk about the negative things you said about Novus Ordo Catholics. And I like to say things that your position against the magisterial teaching on the admissibility of the death penalty, right? Because he likes to talk about that a lot. He's on Glad Trap podcast. Yeah, I've seen him talking about that as well on the Glad Trap podcast. So I email him three different times over a span of maybe a week or 2 weeks. And because, you know, I understand that, you know, people don't always see their emails. It happens to me sometimes. They go to spam. I also send this guy, this Nick Cavanzos, right? Also send him an Instagram message. Instagram message. Just copying what I said in email. Okay. Also tag him in a post on my YouTube channel. I was like, hey, you know, I like this guy to be on my show. I tag him in a YouTube post. So let's count this. Email 3 times. Instagram and YouTube. All right. 5 different communications, 3 different ways I reach out to this guy, this Nick Cavanzos, and saying, hey, why don't you come on, defend the trash that you're saying about Novus Ordo Catholics, Novus Ordo Catholics, and which the trash you're saying about the magisterium, right? Okay. He never responds. So it was funny to me when I'm on my Facebook, Colin's on fire. He says, Nick the dick. Forgive me. Nick needs a slap upside the head by his mother. So, it's really curious to me, right? That, you know, I'm on Facebook and I'm scrolling and I see this. Whoa. Whoa. What's this? He's going on Timothy Flanders' podcast, and they're talking about a grammatical issue in Humanigenes that is so central, that is the foundation of both the internal church crisis and the errors of Russia. Wow, I mean, you're talking about important stuff. I mean, that's really affecting people's lives. And this is like, I mean, this is like probably like the most important theological discussion of the day. I mean, this looks like really important stuff, doesn't it? And he's going over here on this podcast to have a conversation. An Augustinian and a trad Thomas Lefebvre walk into a bar, right? Vital foundations of trad disputed questions. I must not be trad enough, obviously, because I didn't even know this was like a major theological question. All right. Nick and Timothy does. Okay. So again, Nick always goes on to avoiding Babylon. Couldn't email me back. Couldn't Instagram me back. Couldn't Facebook me back. But I see the guy going on another podcast, having another debate, in granted, in a friendly audience, right? So I'm like, okay. So I kindly just make a comment on that post, right? I sent Cavazos 3 emails and 1 IG message, asking him to debate his pro-death penalty position and his hostility towards Novus Ordo. No response. Not even a screw off David L. Gray. But debate a position of his that isn't harming people's lives with a friendly audience? He's all in. One can only laugh. Like, honest retort for me, right? Honest retort. It's not malicious or anything. I was just pointing out the facts. I invited this guy to, you know, have a conversation, a debate, not an argument, just a debate about something that matters. Clearly, whether you disagree with it or not, I don't know if it really, you know, I understand that where people are at with the church's teaching on the death penalty, especially if you haven't been tracking this thing since the 60s, you think it just came out of thin air. I get that. Right? I don't understand not being obedient to magisterial teaching. I don't really get that, because I don't want to be judged I'm not trying to get on Judgment Day. Judgment Day, one thing I don't want to hear God say to me is that I leaned on my own understanding. I did that for half of my life. It ruined me. Right? So now I'm just trying to be obedient, right? I may not understand everything the Catholic Church teaches, but I'm faithful to what the church teaches, right? Magisterially. And so I get that, right? Where he's coming from, being against the magisterium when it comes to the death penalty. But I'm like, hey, let's come on and debate these things. Let me see where you're at. All right. What happens next? He responds to me here, probably because I put him on blast. Nick Cavazos says, David Gray, hi there. My apologies. I get a dozen messages every day, and you must have gotten lost in the shuffle. I've been away from YouTube for around a month. Now, due to the loss of a family member. So apologies on not responding. I do not do debates with strangers whom I don't know. It's nothing personal, just a policy of mine. Timothy Vanders and I are just chatting in these episodes. We have been friends for a long time and have an active working relationship. I hope that makes sense. Sort of reminds me of, you know, when I used to be a manager at Sherwin-Williams. You know, people will call in, you know, employees call in with the weirdest excuses about why they couldn't come to work that day. Right? I hated that job. Did it for 6 months. Right? And I just quit. I didn't even have another job. All right. First, they were working me 60 hours a week right out of college. Right. I 60 hours a week. What is this? It was breaking me. And then I had to deal with like human resource issues and people making these like strange excuses why they couldn't come to work. This one guy tells me, calls in and said, yeah, Mr. Gray, can't come in today. I don't have any gas in my car. You don't have any gas in your car. I mean, what do I do with that type of information? Right? So Nick is telling me, right? I didn't see your emails. I don't believe that. I sent three of them. And the IG. And in the YouTube. I don't believe it. I really don't. But he says it. Okay. Then he pulls out the family member died card. Probably true. You know, I'm not going to, you know, people die, right? Fine. You still see emails when people die. All right, and you're still checking your emails when people die, right? Because you have to get information. You know, you're communicating with people, right? You know, death does not preclude checking emails. It just, you still get notifications on your phone when people die, right? And then Nick says, he says this would just flabbergasted me. I do not debate with strangers whom I don't know. Strangers? Listen, I haven't met a stranger since I've been Catholic. I haven't met one stranger in the Catholic Church. You know why? Because none of us are strangers. We're all friends. We're all baptized in Christ. We all belong to the same body. There's not one stranger I've met in the Catholic Church since I've become Catholic, right? Not one. But Nick says he can't come on my podcast and debate me about this because I'm a stranger.
Do not touch me. Stranger danger. Stranger danger.
What is this? Stranger danger. David Gray, you're a stranger. I can't debate you. Stranger danger. What is this? Stranger? I mean, who says this? I can't talk to you about what I believe because you're a stranger.
The bad men are coming! All of them! Do you hear me? The bad men are coming!
David Gray's a bad man. He's a bad man, Ma. He's coming to get me. He's a stranger. Stranger danger. Alert. He called me a stranger. Listen, I've been Catholic since 2006. I'm not a stranger to anyone. I'm baptized and can't receive my sacrament. Listen, let me tell you about my sacraments. Baptism, confirmation, Holy Eucharist, sacrament of penance and reconciliation, sacrament of holy matrimony. There's just two sacraments I don't have, right? Never received anointing the sick and holy orders, right? How am I a stranger? Like, we belong to the same family. We're close. We receive the same Holy Eucharist. How am I a stranger?
Blue told me never to talk to strangers, and I've never met anybody stranger than you.
David Gray. David Gray, you're a stranger. You're a stranger danger, David Gray. I can't talk to you about all the trash I'm saying about Novus Ordo Catholics. I can't talk to you about the death penalty. I don't agree to magisterium because you're a stranger, David Gray.
Blue told me never to talk to strangers, and I've never met anybody stranger than you.
You're strange, David Gray. You're a strange man.
Do not touch me. Stranger danger. Stranger danger.
Who are these people? Who are these people? I'm not even who, you know, Novus Ordo Watch, that website, Novus Ordo Watch, you know, they call me a Novus Ordo apologist, which I'm not. I mean, for 2 years, my mass nightmare series, right? A lot of you guys like, clearly, I'm not a Novus Ordo apologist at all. I'm quite the critic. Even my book. There it is, The Divine Symphony. I'm so blessed that many priests have said that's the best book ever written about the liturgy. It's not a defense of the Novus Ordo. It's quite the critique at times. I'm no one to be afraid. In fact, Nick and I would probably agree on a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. But he can't talk to me because I'm a stranger. Amazing. And then I say, you know, he ends and says, does that make sense that you're a stranger, David Gray? Does that make sense? No, it doesn't make any sense. Debate doesn't have to be argumentative. Just defend your position in charity. I don't argue. And you guys seen people on my platform, right? And I don't argue. Whenever you see me argue, right? When Jackie Van Tine was on here a few weeks ago, you know, rabid Protestant, was that argumentative? When the lady a couple years ago, she was on here and she's like this pro-death, this like pro-abortion Catholic lady. Was I argumentative with her? I let people talk. You say, you know, I say this is what the church teaches. Why do you disagree? Or I say this is what you said, but this is what the church teaches. What's the, you know, why won't you accept the teaching? Right? I'm not argumentative, right? Not at all. You should always be open, Nicholas. And have the courage to defend your position in charity when politely asked. Then I say one of the challenges of Catholic social media is that people attack but don't dialogue. You have to be open. You have been openly hostile to Novus Ordo Catholics and to the Magisterium. You take your trad position in trad echo chambers. I'm simply asking you to come out and defend them in the open market. All right. That's it. That's all I said. I thought that was fair, right? I mean, he's always going over to avoiding Babylon, right? And I get why he goes avoiding Babylon. He's good at avoiding things, like being an adult, like being a man. I can't really, I don't know how young he is. Maybe he's one of these millennials. He's been on social media all his life. He's avoided confrontation, sports. Right. And now when somebody just asks him, come out of your echo chamber and have a conversation like a man and air out what you believe in an audience that's not friendly, an audience and that's just going to say, yeah, I agree. Come do that, right? And he calls me a stranger.
Do not touch me. Stranger danger. Stranger danger.
And the difference between him, let me say this. The difference between, you know, a little coward, somebody without, obviously, the gift of fortitude from the Holy Spirit. See, this type of person who, you know, it's crazy that these are the type of people who some of you are listening to. Who some of you are letting you drive you away from the Catholic Church, drive you into sedevacantism, making a shipwreck of your faith, driving you away from the magisterium. For some of you, these are the type of people who you're listening to. And I don't care how long their beard is. I don't care how many cigars or pipes they smoke. These are not men. But these are the type of people who you're listening to. These cowards. These soft boys. Now, Peter Kwasniewski, who I've made videos about, who I disagree on a few things, Dr. Peter Kwasniewski. Here's the difference between him and Nick Cavanzos. So I made this video in which I compared, I'm just talking about pro-death people. And I mentioned Donald Trump, you know, and his position on abortion now. I mentioned Kamala Harris campaigning at an abortion center. And I mentioned Dr. Peter Kay, but his position on something pro-death he has said. I forget what it was. It might have been death penalty. It might have been he advocating death somewhere. So I make this video and I equate all three. All right. And I understand, like I said, I sympathize with people who cross the Rubicon, who cross that line and somehow rationalize in their head that is, we can kill people. We can have the intent to murder people. Right. And I think once you cross that Rubicon, once you cross that line, you can rationalize something that's completely unnatural as of killing a human being. I think you become entrenched into something demonic. And I think you have to really defend and entrench yourself into that demonic thing because killing humans is unnatural. It does not belong to that natural order. It's one of the first things we saw when sin entered the world. We saw Cain and Abel. We saw him kill his brother, right? It's unnatural. It doesn't belong to the human order. We can kill animals to eat, whatever, fine. But killing humans is unnatural. It does not belong, again, to the natural order. This is why Jesus Christ always refutes it at every stance. And even when Pontius Pilate says, you know, he means, hey, yeah, you do have some authority, right? He shows him a limited authority by spitting on the cross, the instrument of death, by mocking it. He rises. They try to give God death, and he rises from it. They try to kill the Imago Dei, and he rises from it, spits on the cross, mocks it. And then, you know, gives us a crucifix as an icon just to look at this every day. Like, man, the death penalty has no power. Wow. The death penalty is foolish. But I get how people can go there. Right. I understand like the rationalization of the whole thing, because they always make the similar arguments, whether you're pro-abortion or pro-death penalty. It's always the same arguments, like, oh, there's some instances where you can kill a person. And it's always the ends justify the means. Like, you got to kill people to keep the public safe. Or you got to kill the baby in the womb to keep the mom safe. It's always like these same arguments, right? So I get it, right? So with Peter Kay, so I made this video. And Dr. Peter K emails me and he says, hey, I didn't like that video. You need to take it down. You compare me to Kamala Harris. And then he calls me a modernist in the email, which is fine. When Rad Trident calls me a modernist, I get it. It means that I believe something after 1917, right? Anything after 1917, if you believe anything after 1917, you're a modernist, right? So I get it. But man, I thought that was really cool that he emailed me. That was like really, really cool, right? And then also in the email, because I think in the video I said, you could tell Dr. Peter K has never been in a fist fight. Just look at him. You know, you say boo, he'll probably run, right? He also puts in an email, like, hey, to the contrary, I've been in a fist fight and I won. What? You won? You know, my friend Corey, you know, he always likes to, I grew up with Corey. I've been knowing Corey since I was about 9 years old. And Corey likes to use his word. He spells it N-E-G-G-E-H-H. So N-E-G-G-E-H-H, right? And so when Dr. Peter had said that to me, that he's been in a fist fight, he said, and he's won. First thing I thought was Corey. I said, Dr. Peter K, I was like, wow, man, that was pretty cool. You've been in a fist fight and you won, right? So I email him back, right? I say, Dr. Peter K, I appreciate the email. But no, I'm not taking the video down. You are pro-death. And I appreciate the email, right? Thank you. And that was it. Conversation over, right? Because that's how men have conversations. Right? And so then a few weeks later, I reach out to Dr. Peter K again. I say, hey, you wrote this petition calling for Pope Francis to be removed. I think that's what it says. I think I'm using the wrong word. They wanted Pope Francis to the cardinals to depose him or something like that, right? Rad Trad Inc. was trying to depose Pope Francis. That's what I said. So I say, hey, Dr. Peter K, I'm having this podcast. This is Sunday. This is on a Sunday. And I say, hey, I'm going to have my live stream on Saturday. I mean, on Tuesday. And would you like to come on and defend this petition that you wrote? He emails me back almost immediately. And he says, hey, David Gray, thanks for the invitation in the email. Unfortunately, I'll be traveling during that time where you're having your live stream, so I won't be able to come on. And then he says, you know, he calls me a modernist again. You know, he said, hey, I understand why you disagree with someone that's in there, you know, modernism. He goes on about modernism. And fine, I get that. Listen, call me a modernist all day, because when Rad Trading says that, I understand what you understand, right? I understand what you mean, right? I believe in the magisterium. But I thought that was really cool. Again, this is how men talk, right? I say, Dr. Peter K, he did it again, came through. That's a little bit different than Peter Cavanzos, right? Look, we have this exchange, this back and forth, right? I say, hey, it's kind of funny that you go on that podcast, but not mine. I've reached out to you several times. And he says, no. The reason why I didn't respond is because, you know, you're a stranger.
Lou told me never to talk to strangers. And I've never met anybody stranger than you.
And so, and then I reply one more time, like, no, I don't understand the whole stranger danger thing, right? And so you know what happened next, right? You guys know what happened next, right? I'll let you think about it. Somebody in the comments tell me What do you think happened next after I sent that last message? What do you think happened after I sent that last message? I'll wait. Somebody in the comment box, tell me, what do you think happened after I responded to Nick? Have a good Steros got it. He blocked me. He blocked me. It wasn't that hard, was it? Right? You guys know how these people operate. I don't know why this is the go-to for some people in Rad Trad Inc., right? Not all of them, obviously. Dr. Peter K, he operates a little bit differently. He operates like a man, but some of them operate like an 11-year-old boy who is transitioning into a girl, right? They operate like an 11-year-old boy who's transitioning into a girl. Their first thing is, oh, you're a stranger danger. I'm going to block you. How many of you have been blocked by Dr. Taylor Marshall because you said something that he disagreed with? So this is the same thing that this Nick Cavazos did. I didn't say anything mean to him. I was quite polite. But he blocked me. I thought it was strange at first. Then went back to the post because other people were replying, you know, his fanboys taking up for him. So I go back, you know, just see what they're saying because they're tagging me. And for some reason, I can't see Nick's comments. And I was like, man, did he delete the comments? I was like, man, that's strange. But then I noticed I couldn't even see him tagged in the original post anymore, in the original op. I was like, oh, man, don't tell me he blocked me. Please don't tell me he blocked me. So I go to my business account. And Timmy Flanders, this post is public. So I go to Timmy Lee's page. And then I see the original post. And his comments are there. I said, oh, my goodness. He blocked me. I mean, it's one thing to be, you know, stranger danger.
The bad men are coming. All of them. Do you hear me? The bad men are coming.
But it's like a completely other thing to be to be blocked, right? That's, again, behavior of an 11-year-old boy who's transitioning into a girl. I mean, I said what I said about Dr. Peter K. You know, said he's never been into a fist fight. He corrected me. But I mean, but just look at him, right? He's not, if you guys are like going into like the ring and you're like, say, hey, man, we're going to have a tag team wrestling competition or tag team kickboxing, a 5-on-5. I mean, Dr. Peter K, he's not the first person you pick. I mean, let's be honest, right? All right, so I said what I said. But at least he acts like a man. Like, maybe he will. Maybe I will pick him number 3, right? I mean, he's been in a fight and he won before, right? He has some experience, you know? He has some experience. But Nick Cavazos? I mean, come on. What are you going to do when it really gets tough? When life really gets tough, what are you going to do? Block life? You gonna block life? You can't block life, man. There's adversity. There's some people who truly believe if you ignore a problem, it will go away. How's that working out, Nick? How's that working out? Now you have a whole YouTube video about you. All right. I'm gonna cut this up into shorts. Ignoring problems don't go away. As a man, Nick, just as a man, I don't know if you have a father in your life, but let me just teach you something. All right. Men do not run away from adversity. We don't. We don't. We're not built to run away from adversity. We're not built to block and to ignore. Men are built to face the challenges that face them, that come before them, right? We're the opposite of Adam. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the gift of fortitude, which enables us to go into pain, peril, danger when truly deemed expedient. And we have to practice the virtues. We have to practice the virtues like fortitude. We have to practice them. If we don't practice them, then, you know, we're not in shape when the true adversity comes. I don't know how we can trust you when things really get hard, Nick. I don't. I mean, if it becomes like illegal to become a Catholic, if they really start persecuting us corporally, if the zombies come, I don't know how we trust you. I don't. You're blocking nice Catholics like me. Just because you don't want to talk about something that you talk about in friendly audiences. I just don't know how we can trust you, Mr. Traditional Thomas. That's what these rad trendings, man, with their cigars and their pipes and their beards. Who are these people? I mean, we're supposed to say, I'm a man because I go to the traditional Latin mass. But you're blocking me? You're blocking me? I'm a man. My wife stays home. She doesn't have a job. She just makes babies. But you're blocking me? I don't know. I mean, I guess it's easy to like control a woman, right? I mean, a lot of women do want to stay home, right? Maybe that's people. Some women do aspire to be mothers, and that's beautiful, right? I know some of you, or I've seen a lady today, just has a domineering husband. I feel bad for her. I can just tell. He's just telling her, hey, go that way. You know, and she's like, I always have a suspicion about some of these people, right? I don't know. That's just me. But if you're up here saying, oh, my woman is going to stay home and make babies, because I'm a man, I go to traditional Latin mass, but you're blocking me. Oh, people should die on death row. Jesus said visit people in prison, but Thomas Aquinas said kill them. Kill people on death row. Kill sinners. Give them the death penalty. I mean, that's a lot of tough talk for a guy who's like blocking people on social media. I don't think you get to say the death penalty is cool, we should kill people, like you're blocking people on social media. Killing a person is really difficult. Again, that's a line that you can cross. So it's easy to talk about who should die, who should live. It's easy to be pro-abortion and pro-death penalty because it's all talk, right? It is. It's talk. Very few people are abortionists. Very few people are, you know, pulling, you know, dropping a guillotine, right? It's just all talk. It's all talk. But I don't think you should talk about it if you're blocking people on social media. I don't think so, man, because social media is easy. Killing people is hard. And I don't think if you're up here talking trash about Nova's Ordo Catholics into your friendly audiences over there avoiding Babylon. Keep avoiding. Keep going to avoiding Babylon. If you're saying that avoiding Babylon, you're going on another podcast and you're talking trash about Nova's Ordo Catholics. You're talking trash about the Magisterium. I think you should really just stop. All right, because you've shown that you're a coward, Nick. You're a coward. You're not a real man. If you can't come out of your little echo chambers and defend what you say against somebody who opposes some of what you believe, then you don't get to keep talking about it. I don't think so. I'll go on any podcast. I've been on podcasts where I fundamentally disagree with people 100%. But you invite me and I have time, you know, we can arrange the things. I'm there. What? What? If I said it, okay, I said it. You have some questions about it? Okay, what? You should always be able to defend what you say. And I think, that, again, that's the problem with social media, especially Catholic social media. People just up here talking, running their mouth on avoiding Babylon. But you can't step out of that little avoiding Babylon space where everyone agrees with you and come out and be a real man. I think you should just shut up. Just shut up, Nick. You're not a man. You're a boy. You're 11-year-old boy transitioning to be a woman. I think it's really cowardice. I really do. And it's shameful. You gonna block me after lying? Saying you need to get any of my emails, not my IG, not my Facebook. And then you're gonna call me a stranger and block me? Man, I'd be ashamed if my daughter brought a guy like you home. I mean, just ashamed. I don't care how many pipes you smoke. I don't care if you call yourself a trad Thomas, go to traditional Latin mass. You don't have any evidence of going to the traditional Latin mass. Because I hope the traditional Latin mass will make a man out of you. I hope you lead a traditional Latin mass and know how to stand. Know what to stand for, know what to kneel for. And these people get on my nerves. They keep talking about, the traditional Latin mass. But, dude, there has to be some evidence that something is changing in you, that you're living the virtues. You have fortitude. You have courage. You have temperance, prudence, justice. You have the fruits, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, piety, fear the Lord. There has to be some evidence, right? And I just don't think evidence is blocking some people and lying and calling them stranger danger. I don't think you even should have a YouTube channel at this point. Traditional Thomas. St. Thomas would be ashamed of you. You're blocking people? St. Thomas Aquinas never refused a debate or a disagreement. I mean, this is just shameful behavior. Your mom should be ashamed of you at this point. All right, I'm done ranting. Deacon Toby said, "Whoa, don't knock my cigars." No, Deacon, you're a real man. I know you. I'm talking about these guys who are living these unhealthy lifestyles, smoking. But no. There's something just masculine about smoking a cigar, right? Smoking a pipe. Something just masculine about that. Something visceral, right? It's completely unhealthy, but it looks like something a man would do, right? I'm just from that generation before e-cigarettes. So if I see a person like Nick in his picture, is always him smoking a pipe, I'm suspecting like masculine behavior. I'm not getting it. Colin says Bruce Jenner was once a man. Now he's fecked up. Yeah. Catholic Stereo says, fact, I was an altar boy in 1960s. That's where I saw abuse. Yeah. Yep. Let me go before you get into Marley Tager Green. Oh my goodness, that was a hot mess, wasn't it? All right, I'm out of here. This is like a long show, but I'll be back tomorrow. We're going to talk about Michael Voris, and we're going to talk about Frank Bavone and all these pro-death, pro-abortion Republicans. Who call themselves Catholic. All right. Appreciate y'all tuning in. But until then, and until next time, blessings and shalom to you and to yours.
Do not touch me. Stranger danger. Stranger.